Good morning, Sheldah.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thank you.
Good.
So were you able to find out those LFID things?
No, not entirely.
No, okay.
So what I want to do is kick off the promotion request, and I'll just ask everybody to fill it
yeah.
in.
Yeah. That's the best thing to do. Okay.
I see everybody else starting to join. Welcome, everyone. We'll give people another minute or so to join, and then we'll get started. Okay, it looks like we have quorum. Well, welcome, everyone. On today's call, I want to spend most of this planning for Casablanca. So we have the developer forum next week. One thing that's going on is a joint proposal with the VNF requirements team for a VNF compliance program following Casablanca. And then I also want to talk about committer roles and commitments for R3, and then dive into the Casablanca feature set, including the M1 checklist. I took all the inputs that you've given over the last few weeks and put it, at least in draft form, into the template form, and I want to review that with the team, and then any new business that we might have. Is there anything that anyone would like to add to the agenda before we begin? Okay, so let's get started. The first one is I had a call this week with Stephen Wright from AT&T, who is PTL of the VNF requirements and VVP program, about how we might work together in the Casablanca timeframe. We want to have a compliance program under the LFN Compliance and Verification Committee framework. And it'll have two aspects. One is a badging aspect, like the CII badging, and the second one is the testing aspect. So from the testing aspect, we would use the integration we've already done with Dovetail as the basis for this. VNF SDK would write the tests for Tosca, VVP then would also deliver any additional tests for Heat, so that we don't have to worry about that part, but it would still test through VNF SDK through the work that we did integrating with VVP. there are going to be a number of requirements that we can't get to, can't test in a reasonable time frame. For that, we would have a paper certification, if you will. Just like the CII badging we did for security, there would be a questionnaire for the vendors to fill out to talk about their VNF and how it complies with the program. And then we would offer a logo based on the completion of that checklist.
So that means, Chris, Jill asks you, this certification would be kind of a self-certified things?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So then with the compliance with the testing program, we see it two ways. One would be self-testing and another would be third-party lab testing. Both could be valid. So it essentially becomes levels. And we can do this with the logo program that we have now. Essentially, there are chevrons that go on top of it that talk about what you came in to test. So we can stack several of these talk about the increasing sophistication of VNFs and the testing that they've done. So the first phase is you go through the checklist and you get your badge, and then you come in and you do testing for the packaging, and then we may have additional tests down the road that we factor into there as well.
What's the differentiator between self-certification and third-party lab certification?
Mostly it's about the sophistication of the vendor. There are some vendors who have significant test labs and would be able to do this themselves. Especially when we get into VNFs, there will be many smaller vendors who don't have that expertise who would want to go to a third-party lab to help them out. So we allow either.
Is there any third-party labs that have stepped up to say they would do that?
Yes. So UNH, IOL first, and then there are a couple others that are also expressing interest, Cable Labs and Cengen, we may see others as we get closer.
So in the case where those VNF would be tested by such labs that you just mentioned, it would be kind of certified by such a lab, or I think here what I'm trying to get at is people make a difference between, I think, would make a difference between a self-certification versus something that has been certified by a third party.
Who's the people in this case?
So
the consumers of the product?
Yeah, the consumer of the VNF. Say, you give me your VNF that you did, Brian, and with all due respect, you tell me, oh, I tested it, it's compliant. I would say, yeah, okay. Now you tell me I've been certifying this VNF by a third-party vendor, whatever it is, I may put more credit.
Right, and the challenge yeah, really is if you're not going to force providers to use the third-party certification lab and trust in their self-certification, you know, there's a lot of trust in there, and there's no
correct,
quality
absolutely
guarantee.
Guys, this entire discussion was already made in OPMV.
Okay.
Yes.
The Dovetail, why did we integrate with Dovetail? It's because you download the client and the client assures that the results you are sending in, mm-hmm, are genuine. Okay. So what you do is you're not actually self-certifying. You're running tests that were written by the community and using a tool that was
okay.
So the tool knows how to run the tests and how to sign them and send them over to the committee.
So
you can't spoof that?
You can spoof everything, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's this level of trust here.
Okay.
Yeah, but the other option is that there will be some you know, some authority to do it, right? And mm-hmm. then there will be corruption over there, okay, or monopoly or things like that. So I think this is a better choice because either way, you have pluses and minuses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we've been talking about at the CVC, the Compliance Verification Committee, is indicating in the results where they came from, whether they were run by self-certification or by, we're changing the name, but essentially one of the preferred labs, one of the labs that we know and has been working with us in the program. So you can go to any lab, because if you're allowing self-certification, it doesn't matter who does the test. But there will be some labs that are closer to the program than others who participate, who get listed on the website, who know the tool better. So we'll be specifying them in one place. And then we could even certify the lab. And if we go through that, then we can mark off that you came in through a compliant lab. So if people are concerned about that, they can look at that aspect too. So we'll make it transparent.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. So does this approach make sense to the team?
It does, but you know more if you can get more information about it in OPMV. There is this okay.
Yeah.
It's a long. Yeah. There's a lot to discuss here, and yeah, we didn't go into it much, but it was already work done.
Right. Yes, I've been working on that side actually for several years now. So yeah, it's a mm-hmm. tough problem. You know, having trust in the tool, but then also verifying the results when they come in. I think that was one of the other questions, is who offers the logo? It's the Compliance Verification Committee operating under the authority of the board. So all the results get reviewed by two reviewers who are not the company that's submitting them, and then they go to the full committee for vote. Essentially they're authorized to use the logo.
Okay. Is there any particular link into either OPNAV or somewhere else that we should start looking at?
It's a detailed conversation. The place to go now would be the Compliance Verification Committee. A lot of this was posted on the OPNFP wiki, but because it was a board committee back then, some of the permissions are restricted. Some of it's on the Dovetail wiki. So that would be one place to look. We're talking about it in the Compliance Verification Committee, and then the separation of concerns is that the CVC will take care of the logistics of the program, and ONAP will take care of the VNF requirements and VNF tests, and OPNFE will make sure that the Dovetail framework supports the ONAP integration, will support our needs for this testing.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else before we move on? Okay. Next, I'd like to talk about committer roles and committer promotions. I went through the Biturgia statistics. And I'd like to nominate Mikhail, Moshe, Kanagaraj, Kailunin, and Jolly to become committers going into the Casablanca release. you know, this actually balances out. I haven't heard back from everybody, but a number of the committers from last time are stepping back. So we do have some open slots within the community. And also, you know, Mikhail Moshe, Kana Garaj Kailun, and Anjali have done significant work in the Beijing release, and I'd like to recognize them and promote them to committers. Are there other people we should consider for the promotion as well?
Hey, Chris, this is Alok.
Yes.
Gokul will be leaving us, so I think you need to decommit him from the...
Thank you. Yes, he mentioned that.
So today is last day, so we probably need to change that. And I will work with you on the requirements for the VES. We are working on a V6.0. We'll have it published here, and then we'll work with you to get it into the SDK.
Great. Okay.
And the same thing, I'll right now, I'm your point of contact for the agent code also.
Okay. Great. I will note that. And Murali and Chengli are stepping down as well for this release. Anyone else? For any of the existing committers, if you're not planning to participate in the release, could you let me know that as well?
Does this include committers for the VNF package model?
Yes. If I miss someone who needs recognition, I use Biturgia to identify people for promotion.
We've never committed the models yet. So
yeah.
Kevin and Jesse will need to chat with them.
Okay. Yes, one of the things that we have to be able to show is meritocratic contribution. So even if it's a wiki contribution, which also shows up on Biturgia, we just have to make reference to the contributions before we run the committer promotion. So you can see here that one of the required things is this links demonstrating the contributor's established history of contributions.
So this looks back in time.
Yes.
So okay, yeah, we won't have that then for Jesse or Kevin, right? Well, Kevin might. Oh, well, I don't know. You're better at analyzing this stuff. So there has been a lot of wiki commits.
Yeah. It counts.
It counts. We can.
Okay.
We just have to be able to point to it. I can talk to Andy about that. I don't see him on the call. So I will be sending this around for voting. If all the current committers can respond by next Wednesday, I'd appreciate it. I'll put that in the vote. And then I'd like to run this promotion actually back to Gildas once we have the vote from the committers, and then we'll update the repos and resources and repositories link. And one other request is I didn't know everybody's LFIDs, for the contributors up for nomination, could you fill in this page with your LFID, please? So that when we go to Gildas and to Jess, it makes it easy to add you to the system. Okay. Any other comments on this before we move on?
And just one maybe point, Chris. You are providing committer rights on all repos for all those committers.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it gets complicated if we try to restrict it to one repo or another. So I think anyone who's a committer should have rights to all of the VNF SDK.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Moving right along. Casablanca feature set. I've been putting it into the M1 template. And this is all based on the discussion we've had over the last few weeks. So if I miss anything or put it in wrong, please let me know so we can adjust it. What we've been talking about for this release, we enhanced the Dovetail integration for use in the LFN compliance and verification testing. We incorporate the VNF requirements, testable requirements. We're going to work on making the marketplace framework more modular to make it easier to plug in tests. Support SDC onboarding tests as well. And then package data model enhancements, the VES multi-VIM enhancements, and then HPA and Sol 004 certificate handling and other things that we hope to do in Beijing that we didn't get to. Yes.
There is a lot more than just the multi-VIM enhancement on the VES side. There will be a few new domains added to this. I think we have a contribution from Nokia on PNF registration. There's a notification domain to support the 5G use cases. And also, we are adding one more domain on RAN matrix. That would be probably will be completed by end of this month.
Okay. Help me with the statement. It's multi-VIM.
Sure. So it's with the multi-VIM enhancement, you can say PNF registration domain. There is a notification domain being added, and RAN metric. No, RAN.
Oh, RAN. Sorry.
RAN. Yeah. And this is to really support the 5G use case. And then, of course, the focus of the VES, we're keeping the name still, but it's now XNF. So because now we'll be supporting not only VNF, VNFCs, but also PNFs as well as cloud and cloud infrastructure.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So is this statement okay then?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Anything else from the team? Anything that's missing or that we should change?
Just one question, Chris, maybe. Is that a priority list here or just a numbering list?
It's mostly just a numbering list. Okay. From my perspective, one and two are top priorities. But once we get below that, we actually have different work streams. So I'm not saying that VES is less important than any.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a numbered list.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to use cases. First is using the VNF SDK for compliance testing. Second is supporting operator use of VNF SDK for vendor engagement or acceptance testing. And third is the third-party lab uses VNF SDK for extended VNF testing. And fourth is HPA. Are there other use cases that we should be focusing on?
Are we dropping the netconf thing because we didn't get a contribution?
I didn't get the contribution. It's still sitting in that backlog. If someone comes forward in the next couple of weeks and really wants to do it, we'll talk about it here, but I don't hear any contributions, so I think that's just still going to sit in the backlog.
Have you communicated a cutoff date for future submissions?
It's end of the month, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the M1.
What is line two? Explain that one.
This
no,
one.
In the use case.
Oh, use case. Oh. Some of the operators have talked about wanting to use VNF SDK for their acceptance testing, particularly AT&T and China Mobile. If AT&T were to use it, they didn't want to use our portal. They wanted to go in through one of their existing tools, and in their case, it was SDC. We want to be able to support that. If SDC wanted to connect through VNF SDK and run our tests, and then possibly operator-added tests, we could essentially expose the API so that they could run those tests through a different tool.
Okay, but number one is the actor, and number one is the VNF provider only.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you want to identify the actors in those use cases or not, but you have it in number two, it looks like, and number three. Now, in terms of a use case for item two above, is that really items one through three in the use cases?
Yes. Sorry, number two would also be four.
No, looking at the item two up above there.
This
that one?
One,
yeah, that falls into use cases one through three?
Yes.
Okay.
Number two is mostly for use case number one. I expect that the operators and third-party labs would also want to use that. But in those cases, they would have their own tests as well that they want to bring in. And that's where we need number three and number four to support those.
Okay. And then number five's use case is?
It ties in with all the rest because some of those requirements are going to be based on the data model.
Okay. And then what about number six?
Six isn't tied specifically in there, but this is needed for supporting other projects.
Okay. And then seven, really, you could add a fifth use case for security, I guess, if you wanted, right? But
yeah.
Enhanced security.
Yeah, I think it's probably always good to keep that top of mind, so we can put that in.
Yeah, I think those items by default are part of the scope now.
Yeah, same with S3P. We'll get the levels in a week or so, and if we have to make any adjustments. I think it mostly is going to go into enhanced security for us. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Very good. I have not put in the epics and stories for this yet, but we're actually moving through our longer-term roadmap. Most of the items that we had in the long-term have now been moved to the short-term. We're making good progress there.
Did you update the MVP section yet?
Yes, I did. The MVP is support the VNF packaging models and requirements defined in Beijing, the VNF compliance, and HPA.
Okay.
Does that sound right? Or are there other things that we need to include here?
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Those are the must-haves, right?
So. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the rest of this is copied from earlier releases that we haven't really changed the rest. And I haven't updated platform maturity yet because we haven't finalized those levels.
Shouldn't we request projects when they're creating their M1 to use the current architecture diagram approved in Beijing?
I can always do that. I can always change it. This is pretty close. I think this might be the Beijing diagram.
Okay.
I'll double check, but... yeah.
Well, would they use the Beijing approved or the Casablanca dry? I don't know. Is there approved Casablanca one? I would say no, right?
No. We're not making significant changes to this at this point. If a bunch of new projects come in, we'll make sure that they get updated. No, I don't expect major changes to this diagram. Okay. Anything else with the template before we move on?
One thing Chris wanted to ask, what about the dependencies toward the other project?
Oh.
And these dependencies, things is coming back full speed. And while we will be doing the M1 review, I would like to be sure that each project has identified two things. What are the API they are offering to someone else? And what are the API from other projects they are relying on to deliver?
Yeah, thank you. This is actually pretty easy for us.
Okay.
for our outgoing dependencies, there's only one project, and that's SDC. And we've got these APIs, and we've got the documentation.
Who is consuming those APIs? It would be SDC in this case?
Yes, SDC.
Okay.
And they're the only ones. And then from incoming API dependencies, we have none.
Okay. Okay.
We have incoming dependencies. If we take out the word API, then it's VNF requirements and VVP. VNF requirements with the paper list of requirements, mm-hmm. if you will, and the VVP with some of the heat tests. But it's not a strong dependency, so that if it's not delivered, we can still keep going.
Yeah, there's no dependency in terms of linkage during the build time and so on.
Correct.
Okay.
How come we don't use the proper API terminology of server client here?
I think it's just historical. We can work on cleaning up the APIs during the release, but this is what we have right now.
Also, the dependency on OPNFE and Dovetail, shouldn't that be under third-party product?
Yes, we can put that in.
And then what about dependencies to the OPNFE badging process? If we're using processes from OPNFE, not necessarily their software. How do you state that?
I don't think we do. I think we just...
Because we don't want to reinvent the wheel if they've already defined that process.
Well, the badging has not been defined by OPNFE. We're borrowing some of what we went through for CII. What we're borrowing is the testing portion. But that's... under the LFN Compliance Verification Committee. So I don't know that we have to point to it here, just when the program is run. the dependency actually points the other way. It's from compliance verification committee down to ONAP. So we want to do compliance of VNFs, and we want to use the ONAP tool to deliver it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in terms of testing and integration plan, is there any particular change you would like to put in place for Casablanca release, or is there any thought on that?
From my perspective, no. We only really have to test with SDC to make sure that they can bring in VNFs from our catalog. We may enhance the API. It's one of our stories that we wanted to do better integration. So if they want to use us as the test engine for some of the vendor acceptance testing, then we may have to have some enhancements to the set of APIs, like a run test. Mm-hmm. So that may change the testing that we do later in the release, but it's still just pairwise with them. You know, from my perspective, I think that's probably sufficient. Mm-hmm.
If we're exposing the use case number 2, doesn't that create a set of new server APIs?
Let's see. You broke up a little bit. Doesn't that create a set of what?
Use case number 2.
Yeah.
And when you describe that, wouldn't that create a set of new server APIs?
Yeah, it might. We haven't created that yet, so I haven't updated the table. It might be things like load test and run test, which we don't have today.
Are those supposed to be in the M1, or what? What is the point of the M1 API section if you haven't designed the product yet?
I've been using it to talk about what we already have in terms of the APIs. That's part of what next week is about, is sitting down with SDC to get their firm commitment. Is that something they're going to be using? Or when they looked at their plans, are they going to be too busy? So we can adjust these. That's why we're still doing the planning process. So in terms of APIs, I've been documenting what we already have. Anything we have to add, we work out with, in this case, only SDC.
And I know way back when we were doing Beijing, early days of the Beijing, we added, with Andy's help, we added modeling swim lanes to the release calendar. Yep. Did those affect changes into the M milestone templates?
Jada, can you talk to that? The modeling requirements, does that change any of the checklists?
No, from the top of my mind, no. To be honest, I have not looked at that lately, but to the top of my mind, those does not change the checklist template.
I thought it was supposed to, based on Kevin's proposal.
I think it changed, though, is for the modeling committee to be more strict into releasing at M2 the modeling definition.
Yeah, Kevin has a presentation on that.
But that is the point. In fact, yes, it changed for the modeling subcommittee because they have to provide by M2 something that can be used by the other teams, such as VNF SDK and others.
It just seems weird that at the M1, you're talking about API requirements, but not model requirements. They kind of go hand in hand. So,
You're right.
Find his presentation. I don't know where to do that, but.
Yeah, implicitly by API, when we mean model as well. Yeah. But we could be more specific. So you have the point here.
Yeah, so if you look at the release calendar, there is a checkpoint at the M0 and at the M1. So the modeling plan must be established by M1. That means there must be a change to the template. Anyway, we can take that off with Kevin and maybe Jesse. She'll be out there. I don't know if Kevin's going to be there next week.
Okay. Very good. So anything else on this?
No, maybe just one more thing, Chris. Mm-hmm. In terms of resources, you mentioned a few people are leaving, stepping down from their role. Do we have a backup for these people yet, or still maybe a gray area at this time?
I think we got a equal number of new committers coming in to replace the ones that are going out.
Oh, okay.
Assuming that everybody is approved when mm-hmm. I send this out for the election. Mm-hmm. I expect to have that handled by next week. It'll be roughly flat. What I'd like to do for next week is cancel our meeting because people are traveling.
Yeah.
Conduct it by email, fill out the epics, and then get people assigned to the various epics so that we can start prioritizing. And if we have to make adjustments to this list based on resources, we do that before the M1.
Okay.
So by the time we get to M1, I want to have epics and stories and resource commitments so that we know that we can meet our plan.
Okay. Is there any kind of transfer of knowledge maybe needed by those from those people departing to those one coming in?
I think we're okay. Gokul had significant knowledge, but Alok is supporting us, so we've got that covered.
Okay.
And
so what was the question? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Do we need to do knowledge transfer between some of
the... No, I think I'll provide the coverage. It's the West was something that started with me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Good.
Yeah. And then Morales...
Same for the other roles.
Departure, but Avinash and Kana Garaj and Anjali can pick that up.
Okay, great. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, from a knowledge perspective, I think we're good.
Okay.
Anything else on this? Okay, let me save this. And going back to the agenda. Okay. So we've actually covered this. And the Casablanca feature set and intent to participate for committers. So let's handle most of that through email over next week. I'd like to start populating the epics at the end of the developer session next week. We will cancel our meeting and have the next one the week after that and do everything through email between then. Any other new business?
Chris, I have a question about timelines and assignment of tasks.
Yes.
So, are you going to assign specific people to write the epics or the stories or and due dates and all that?
If you want to write the epics, go right ahead and stories. I will take care of it as kind of the plan of record, but I invite everybody to write your own epics and stories. The way I like to do it is have people volunteer for some of the work. Moshe, if you want to lead the Dovetail integration for the next release, and you'd like to do the epics and stories on that, by all means, please be empowered to do so.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
And timelines of Casablanca?
M1 is on the 28th, so we have a few weeks before we have to get everything finalized. So we'll do a lot of it for people who are traveling next week based on the feedback that we get from the TSC and from some of the other requirements that we have to incorporate. We'll get everything wrapped up before the presentation to the TSC on the 28th.
And I would be glad to share with you I will put in the wiki here, in the link to the Casablanca release timeline. So that everyone will know what is a timeline. Here you go. You have a nice picture and all the data are within the table below.
Great. Thank you.
Sure, pleasure. Bookmark that.
Great. Anything else while we're all still together? Okay. I'll break a little early and give you back about 15 minutes. Thank you all for your contributions. And for those of you who are traveling, I will see you next week in Beijing.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. See you next week. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.